الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم The grave's stark horrors Attar's prayer O Lord of the Prophet Whoever reads or listens to the 21-page booklet The grave's stark horrors Grant them and their children True love for the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his companions and family. I ask you to also bless them with forgiveness without accountability. Ameen bi jahin nabiyyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellences of reciting salat upon the Prophet. A poor person once came to non-Muslims asking for help. Attempting to be facetious, they sent him to the fourth caliph of Islam, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who was nearby. The person presented himself and forwarded his request. In reply, our master, Ali, recited salat upon the Prophet 10 times and blew upon the poor person's palm. Now close your hand. Go and open it in front of those who sent you, he explained. The non-Muslims laughed and wondered what this could do. When the poor person opened his hand before them, it was full of dinars. Many disbelievers became Muslim after beholding this miracle. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, Our lives are flying by. If you were to look back, you will remember your childhood days, the games you played and the fun you had. They seem like yesterday. Yet, does it not feel like our lives have just flashed past instantly? Very soon, what remaining time we have left will pass, and our lives will come to an end. Just as we left our grandfather and father in the graveyard, a day will come in which we are left there too. Once buried, we will not leave our graves until the day of judgment begins. Good deeds alone are what shall help us in the grave. The money we spent day and night working for will all be left here. Eventually, it will all be given to others. Considering these realities, common sense tells us to concentrate on preparing for our graves and the hereafter, instead of focusing all our efforts on amassing wealth. If we ignore this and expend our energy in chasing the world, we may face severe consequences in our grave. The grave holds a host of terrors. Let us now move on to an especially emotional and fear-inducing incident of Sayyiduna Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayh, which took place during his final days. Do not simply pass your gaze over it. Instead, focus upon what you listen to. Allow this to help prepare you for the grave and what it contains. Sayyiduna Umar bin Abdul Aziz accompanied a funeral. Others advanced ahead whilst he went elsewhere. Arriving at their destination, people placed the funeral bier down and waited. O Amirul Mu'mineen, they exclaimed when he arrived. You are the next of kin of this deceased individual. Why did you leave us and go somewhere else? He explained. A grave just called out to me. It said, Why do you not ask me how I treat those who enter me? So I asked for it to explain further. It revealed, I tear apart his funeral shroud, shatter his body, drain his blood, and devour his flesh. Will you not ask me what I do with his joints? So I asked for it to explain further yet again. It said, I separate palms from wrists, wrists from arms, arms from shoulders, hips from thighs, thighs from knees, knees from shins, and shins from feet. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz then tearfully declared, the life of this world is very brief. In the hereafter, the sinner who is respected in the world will be humiliated. The wealthy will be poor. The youthful will become old. And the living will die. Do not be tricked by the world advancing towards you. As you know, it shall abandon you soon. The truly deceived are those deceived by it. Where have those who lived in this world gone? Those who built cities, made ways for rivers, and planted trees. They remained here only for a moment. Health deceived them, and their strength made them conceited. So they fell into sin. By Allah, I feel regretful for them regarding the wealth they gathered through selfishness and which led to them being envied. What has soil and sand done to their bodies? What state have the graves insects left them in? They were happy and relaxed in the world. They slept on soft beds. Servants tended to their every need. Their families honored them, and their neighbors supported their every endeavor. If you can call them as you pass or summon them to you, ensure to do so. When you pass by the armies of the dead, look where they once lived in ease and luxury. Ask the one wealthy person how much money they now have. Ask those who struggle financially if they are still poor. Inquire from them regarding their tongues with which they used to speak and their eyes with which they used to cast evil glances. Quiz them about what insects have done to their soft skin, beautiful faces and delicate bodies. These insects have obliterated their beauty, devoured their flesh, sullied their faces, broken their spines, cut their bodies apart, and disintegrated their joints. Ask them where their homes, families, friends, servants, and treasures have gone. By Allah, they did not prepare for the grave. They did not plant the seeds of righteous deeds or send anything forward that would help bring serenity to them. Are they now not wandering in loneliness? Has day and night not become the same for them? Are they not in solitude and darkness now? A barrier has been raised between them and their actions, and they have parted from their relatives and loved ones. How many men and women were once joyous, but no longer? Their faces no longer remain the same. Their bodies have now separated from their heads. Their eyes have spilt onto their cheeks. Their mouths are full of blood and pus, and insects run freely through what is left of their bodies. By Allah, after just a short while, their bones have become dust. They are now constricted, having once enjoyed freedom. Their widows have remarried. Their children wander the streets, and their relatives have divided their estates amongst themselves. By Allah, there are some fortunate individuals amongst them, whose graves are wide, illuminated,
and fresh, and who found delight within them. O you who shall enter the grave tomorrow, which matter of the world has deceived you? Do you think you will live forever, or this world will last for you? Where is your spacious home and your flowing rivers? Where have your ripe fruits gone? Where is your fine clothing, perfume and incense? What happened to your summer and winter apparel? Have you not seen a dying person? When death approaches, he cannot dispel his anxiety and his drenched perspiration. He is restless due to thirst and convulses due to the pangs of death. Allah's command has come and an unavoidable decree has taken place. You cannot save yourself from what will come. Now addressing himself, he said, "How unfortunate, O you who close the eyes of his father, brother and son before washing them for the grave. O you who shrouded the deceased and placed them in the earth. O you who left them alone in their graves and returned. Do you know what state you will be in within this unwelcoming ground? If only you knew which side of your face would disintegrate first. O grave sinner, soon you will dwell amongst the dead. If only you knew how the angel of death, alayhi salam, will come to take your soul, and what message he will bring from your Lord." He then recited selected couplets of Arabic poetry, which can be summarized as: Number 1, you are happy with temporal things and engrossed in amusement, the way the joy of a dream deceives a sleeping person. Number 2, O deceived one, your day passes in heedlessness and your night in sleep. You have necessitated your own destruction. Number 3, you find yourself involved in things you would never like to end. Such a life is also lived by animals in this world. After this, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz left the people and returned. He passed away just a week later. Dear Islamic brothers, every word of this incident shakes us awake to reality. Sadly, our ears have become deaf to such matters. Our hard hearts are not willing to take these words on board, as darkness has overcome them. It is entirely possible our hearts have become completely covered in darkness due to our rampant sinning. Perhaps this is why we are not ready to take any advice on board. When a heart becomes totally dark, it does not heed positive words or advice.
Black dot upon the heart. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يذنب الذنب فينقبض منه ثم يذنب الذنب فينقبض منه حتى يختم عليه فيسمع الخير فلا يجد له مساغا. Translation from Kanzul Imyan: When a person sins, a dark spot forms on his heart. When he sins again, another dark spot forms, until his heart becomes dark entirely, ultimately leading to words of goodness having no effect upon him. The grave's announcement. The grave makes the following announcement 5 times daily. O man, you walk upon my back carefree today, yet tomorrow you shall be in my stomach. You eat luxurious food today, but tomorrow you will eat insects within me. You laugh upon my back in heedlessness, but when you die, you will be forced to cry within me. You are happy now, yet you shall be sad when I am your place of stay. You sin without a care in the world today, but when you are inside me, you will be punished for what you did. What leads to flames in the grave? Dear Islamic brothers, there are many things which cause a person to face the terrors of the grave. Two of them are a person not protecting himself from urine droplets and backbiting. The companion Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu narrates, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam entered Jannatul Baqi and stood by two graves. Did you bury so and so and so and so? He asked. He referred to a male and a female, or two males. The companions replied, yes, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Just now, so and so has been sat up and hit in his grave, he declared. He then said, I take an oath by He who has power over my soul. He has been struck so severely that every limb of his body has separated. A fire has been lit in his grave, and he has let out a shriek heard by all of creation besides jinn and man. If your hearts were not unsettled and you did not speak in great amounts, you would hear what I hear. He continued, now the second is being struck. I take an oath by He who has power over my soul. They too have been struck severely to the extent that every bone of theirs has separated. Fire has also been lit in their grave, and they too have let out a shriek heard by all of creation besides jinn and man. If your hearts were not unsettled and you did not speak in great amounts, you would hear what I hear. The companions asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, what sin did they commit? He explained, the first did not save himself from urine, and the second ate people's flesh, i.e. backbite. Be fearful, O Muslims. Dear Islamic brothers, this hadith contains many points regarding those who backbite or do not stop urine droplets falling on their bodies. The latter relieve themselves but take no steps to maintain their purity. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, save yourselves from urine, as the cause for punishment in the grave is usually this. When a person shouted from his grave, the companion Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma states, during a journey, I passed a graveyard from the days of ignorance. A dead person emerged from his grave with a chain of fire encircling his neck. I had water with me, and seeing this, he cried, O Abdullah, give me some water to drink. I thought, he called me by my name. He must know who I am or use this name per Arabic custom. Another person then burst out from the same grave. Do not give this disobedient person water, he said. He is a disbeliever. The second person then dragged the first back into the grave. I spent that night hosted in the home of an old woman. A grave lay near her home, and I heard a voice from it saying, urine, what urine? Water skin, what is a water skin? I questioned the old woman about this, and she revealed, this is the grave of my husband. He is being punished for two sins. Whilst urinating, he did not save himself from urine droplets. I would say, how misfortunate you are. Even a camel widens its legs when answering the call of nature to stop filth splashing onto its body. Yet, you do not pay any attention to this. My husband ignored me completely. After he died, these sounds have come from his grave daily. I asked, what is the reason I hear him speaking of a water skin? She responded, a thirsty person approached him asking for water. In mockery, he pointed to an empty water skin. He said, go and drink from that. The thirsty person moved eagerly towards the water skin, but upon inspection found it to be empty. Due to the severity of his thirst, he fell unconscious and died. Since the death of my husband, the words water skin, what is a water skin, come from his grave every day. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar finalizes by saying, I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and mentioned the whole incident. He then forbade traveling alone at night. Three punishments for those who do not pray. Dear Islamic brothers, abandoning salah leads to a person being punished in the grave. The final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam explained, whoever abandons salah due to laziness, Allah Almighty will afflict him with three punishments in the grave. It shall be tightened until his ribs interlock. Fire shall be ignited therein, and he will roll on embers day and night. A large snake named Ashuja'ul Aqra'u, a bold serpent, will set upon him. Its eyes will be of fire and scales of iron. Each scale will be as long as the distance covered in a day's journey. Speaking to the dead, it will declare, I am Ashuja'ul Aqra'u. Its voice will crack like thunder. It will say, my Lord commanded me to strike you until sunrise for leaving Fajr Salah, until Asr for leaving Dhuhr, until Maghrib for leaving Asr, until Isha for leaving Maghrib, and until Fajr for leaving Isha. Whenever it strikes him, the person will sink 70 handspans into the earth, and this punishment shall continue until the day of judgment. O those who abandon salah, if you do not offer salah today, you will be subjected to torment in your grave. By Allah Almighty, you will not be able to endure the strike of the bold serpent in the grave. Not only this, but there are even more punishments administered to those who leave salah. Repent sincerely today. Resolve to offer all your five daily salah in congregation too, if possible, and strive to never miss one again. Dear Islamic brothers, turning away from the dhikr of Allah Almighty leads to one being punished in the grave. A person who does so shall be raised blind on the day of judgment. Allah Almighty declares, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Translation from Kanzul Iman, and the one who turned his face away from my remembrance, Indeed, for him is a life of hardship, and we shall raise him blind on the day of resurrection. A life of hardship is explained in Khazain al-Irfan. A life of hardship in the world, grave, hereafter, in Islamic matters, or all of these, means a person carries out bad deeds and haram actions. This is due to him not adhering to guidance. It also means he is deprived of contentment and succumbs to selfishness. Despite money and means, his heart finds no peace and remains in pursuit of everything. A life of hardship connotes darkness in one's intrinsic condition, continued tough times, and not attaining peace and comfort like a contented believer, which is known as Hayati Tayyiba. A hadith describe hardship in the grave being 99 serpents cast into the grave of a disbeliever. Discussing the contextual background behind this verse being revealed, the companion Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said, "This was revealed regarding Aswad bin Abdul Uzza al-Makhzumi. A life of hardship in the grave refers to it tightening until a person's ribs interlock. Referring to the hereafter, it refers to the punishments of hell, where zakum, boiling water, and the blood and pus of hell dwellers will be given as food and drink. A life of hardship in religion is when pathways of good close upon a person and they become involved in haram. Whether a person receives a lot or a little, if he does not fear Allah Almighty, there is no good in any of it. And this is a life of hardship." Dear Islamic brothers, there is a great lesson to be learned from the terrors of the grave. But Satan has overpowered us. He has seized our minds and hearts to such an extent that we are not prepared to move away from sins and adopt the beautiful sunnahs of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. We are invited to attend the sunnah-inspired gatherings of Dawat-e-Islami and travel in Madani qafilas, but we are not willing to. Satan is full of tricks. He does not want us to become affiliated with the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami, attend these sunnah-inspired gatherings, and travel in Madani qafilas. He knows that if we do this, we will begin offering salah consistently and go to the masjid instead of the cinemas. He knows those who swear, sing immoral songs and watch films will all become pious and begin to remember Allah Almighty. He knows those who shave will then grow a beard according to the sunnah. This is why, despite repeated invitations from preachers of Dawat-e-Islami, Satan prevents us from participating in sunnah-inspired gatherings. Sometimes, he even appears as a barrier in the form of friends. There is death in the end. No matter how long you live, death will eventually come. Women of previous times would say, "May Allah Almighty allow you to live 150 years. Even if someone does reach that age, he will eventually die. Even if someone lived this long, they may pray to pass away. As a host of issues accompany a person the more they age. they become more dependent on others as time goes on. For example, a person is confined to his bed, is compelled to answer the call of nature there, and is unable to stand or change which side he lays on. Due to this, sores develop on his body. Remember, 150 is merely a number to satisfy the heart. Those who reach this age can be counted on one hand. Death can be seen everywhere in today's day and age. Just reflect on the members of your community, and you will realize how there are few elderly people. There are daily road traffic accidents and death due to confrontations between people. Dying has become a frequent reality. Fighting amongst Muslims on a daily basis is punishment for their sins, as early Muslims were protectors of one another. The example of the Muhajireen and Ansar is before us. The latter gave the former half their wealth, whereas Muslims today cannot tolerate one another. Suffering is increasing because Muslims are contravening the rulings of Allah Almighty and turning away from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Bear in mind that it is impermissible to pray for death due to worldly difficulties and hardships. Purpose of life. Remember, honor and excellence in the court of Allah Almighty is not based on lineage, but according to piety. It is stated in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Indeed, the most honorable amongst you, according to Allah, is the one who is most pious amongst you. Being born to a person of worldly repute does not mean anything. It is not a source of superiority. This world is a place of action and an open field. Each person must act for themselves. A person will excel in righteousness as much as he resolutely strives for it. Earning worldly status, eating and trivial enjoyment is not the purpose of life. So why did Allah Almighty grant us life? Why did He create us? Let us look at the Quran, Allah's truthful book, to answer this question. It declares, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alladhi khalaqal mauta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. Translation from Kanzul Iman. He who created death and life in order that you may be tested as to whose deed is best amongst you. Khazainul Irfan explains this verse. This means death and life were made to test who is most obedient to Allah Almighty and sincere with Him. Thoughts of the hereafter. Dear Islamic brothers, wake up to reality. Ponder why we are in this world. We do not reflect upon our hereafter at all. If a verse of the Quran or a hadith is read regarding what will happen after we die, fear of Allah Almighty does not overcome us at all. However, our pious elders and predecessors would fall unconscious or even pass away at its mention. The second caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, said, "Whoever fears Allah Almighty does not display anger. Whoever becomes pious before Allah Almighty does not carry out personal desires. If there was no day of judgment, we would see a different set of affairs." He then recited this verse, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, when the sunlight is rolled up. He then recited until, وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ, and when the books of deeds are opened. Reciting this, he fell unconscious. I am from the wrongdoers. Sayyiduna Miswar bin Makhrama rahmatullahi alayh did not have the ability to hear anything from the Quran without shouting in fear and falling unconscious. He would not awaken for some days at a time. One day, a man from Khathlam tribe came and recited the following verse, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yawma nahshurul muttaqina ila ar-Rahmani wafda. وَنَسُوقُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ وِرَدًا. Translation from Kanzul Iman. On the day when we shall take the righteous people towards the Most Gracious as guests and will drive the culprits towards hell thirsty. He heard this and lamented, I am from the wrongdoers and not from the righteous. O reciter, recite again. The person did so, and Sayyiduna Miswar bin Makhrama passed away on the spot. Dear Islamic brothers, did you hear of the intense fear our pious predecessors had before Allah Almighty? Sadly, we are not like this. Reflect over how short life is, and how soon we shall be lowered into our graves. Bearing the grave and hereafter in mind, strive to perform an abundance of good deeds. If your heart ever desires to sin, think, Allah Almighty is watching me, and I am in His kingdom. Insha'Allah, you will be saved from sin. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.